Alrighty, welcome back everyone to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is Art Burns. I'm really excited to be here with you. And yes, I have yet to record an intro. Well, there's a reason for it now though. And you know, I mean, there's always a reason, of course, right? But this week especially, I am so excited about this self-compassion course that I have going. It is just about done. Like, I'm just kind of putting the finishing touches on all the different lectures. I'm going to have 8 different specific lectures for you. It's going to happen over 9 weeks because in the middle there, no matter when you launch a program like this, there's always some holiday there that's going to mess things up. So this one, at least the one that I know of, is Thanksgiving. There might be a couple other holidays in there. And if that is the case, please don't worry. We will accommodate everything we need to accommodate. So if it's the Jewish holidays or the Christian holidays or the Thanksgiving holidays, whatever it is, we'll accommodate you. Okay, so please do not let a holiday be the reason you don't sign up for this course. Okay, contact me, let me know your concern, and let me figure out a solution. That's what I do here. Okay, because this course is going to be so amazing. I mean, these lectures that I've constructed and designed are really, like I keep saying, I think I said in an email that I sent out this morning to my whole email list, is that I've done a lot of programs in my past, right? I mean, a lot of them. I've never been excited like I am today about this course that we got coming up. So again, you know, please, if you have any concerns about, you know, a reason why you think, oh, I would love to do that, but I can't because of, tell me what that because of thing is, because let me try to accommodate that for you. Let me try to make that accommodation and make it possible for you, okay? Because this is going to be a very, very valuable course, okay? Honestly, in everything I have worked on over the last 10 years, and as you all know, I've told you, this includes sobriety, it includes, my whole restructuring of my diet, it includes losing over 100 pounds, it includes mindfulness, it includes, becoming a coach. I mean, it includes all of this stuff, right? But the one thing that I would not give up out of all of it, right? Like the most important aspect of all of this that I've gone through is the way that I've been able to support myself through difficult moments or difficult thoughts, difficult emotions, difficult physical, statuses. It's that, right? The fact that I am now the person that can support myself through all of this, these things, right? Now, this is part of my own personal trauma, right? Like, I am the kind of person, as a child, I was kind of, you know, painted into a corner a little bit. And I'm one of the people who has a very, I think they call it an ambiguous attachment with my parents, right? And so I am the kind of person who I always believed I didn't need anybody, right? I don't need anybody's help. I can deal with this the same way I've done it my whole life, right? And that's true, right? There is a truth to that, right? But when I realized the true falsehood of that, at the same time as it being true, it's also profoundly false, right? Because nobody can get through this life without any support. Not get through with well-being. Okay, yes, plenty of people survive it. In fact, sometimes they become the president of the United States, right? People who don't have support systems, who don't have either internal or external support systems, right? We can live this way, but we're not going to do it with well-being, all right? And so self-compassion is that thing that becomes that support that it kind of satisfies everything that I'm kind of talking about, right? Like, I don't need somebody else to show me that support. I can show myself that support. So that's different from saying I don't need any support, right? I do need support. But the point is that I can get that support from me. Now, the other thing that comes with self-compassion is recognizing when there are other people in your life who probably, you know, ought to be supporting you, but are not. And self-compassion is the thing that allows you to recognize that, you know, maybe your spouse or maybe your friends or maybe your family is not giving you the support that you really believe that you need. And self-compassion allows you not only to notice that, but then to ask for that support. And that too is something that's really, really beautiful. And so this morning, while I was kind of getting up, yeah, by the way, I hope you all had a great weekend. You know, the last couple of days anyway, I hope Monday and Tuesday was good for you. Today is Wednesday, the 13th, I think it is. And I'm recording this this video here, again, with the real excitement for what's coming this Saturday in the self-compassion course. But of course, today is my Monday. And so, yeah, I hope you all had a nice couple of days. I know I did. It's been I'm a little tired today, but that's all good. But as I was waking up this morning, you know, kind of Monday morning vibes, you know, kind of getting up, getting things going, I had this beautiful sort of thought that came to me, like, I think just before my meditation. So I kind of like, you know, kind of this was the thought that kind of wove its way through my meditation, which is really beautiful, right? So the thing that we don't necessarily recognize, and we don't recognize it about ourselves first, and therefore it's really hard to recognize it about anybody else, right? But the reality is that, you know, when we're experiencing anything, right? And when I say experience, I don't mean like an external experience kind of coming in, but just in the terms of our mood, right? Like the way that we meet the world at any given moment, right? You know, it includes our mood, it includes, you know, kind of various parts of our sort of psyche, right? But what creates this thing? Like, let's just call it the mood, right? Because it's kind of easy to look at it being mood, you know, mood oriented, right? You're either in a happy and excited mood, or you're in a troubled and frustrated mood, or you're in a anxious mood, or a depressed mood, or a you know, angry, or I think I said angry, you know. But the point is that we can kind of assign all these different moods, and you have those, right? Like, you know, we all have our own moods, right? And it's not sort of a universal thing, right? So where I might get into an angry mood, somebody else might get into a maybe more of a shame kind of mood, you know. And that's just, again, that's just the way that we both sort of, you know, process those feelings that we're going through, right? Process our experience and the feelings that experience provides us. And that's the point that I'm making here, right? Is that thing that we call our mood or our disposition and ultimately our personality, because that's all your personality is a mood that just kind of becomes so embodied that it's predictable and reliable, even though reliable might not be the word that comes to mind if it's something that's kind of, you know, disruptive in your life, right? But that is the case, right? Now, here's the thing, right? That mood, and let's just call it a mood for the presence that the mood, you know, indicates, right? Because if we call it a personality, then we're talking about all kinds of things from the past, even things in the future. So let's just call it a mood, because that's something we can like work with in the present moment. So the mood that you are currently in right now as you're watching this video, right? Which I hope you're in a, you know, I hope your mood is becoming more and more pleasant as you're watching my video, because that's my aim here. But regardless of that, right? The mood that you find yourself in, right? Is it's sort of like a cake in the sense that it arises from a recipe, right? And that recipe includes various parts of your existence, right? Of your, not your existence, your experience in this moment. One of those things is your physical disposition in this moment, right? So if you're, you know, depending on how much sleep you've gotten, depending on how much you've gotten to eat, depending on how much you know, maybe you've had a little too much caffeine, or maybe you ate too much and you feel a little bit bloated, right? These are all things that are going to contribute to that mood that you have, right? But it doesn't stop there, of course, right? It also depends on what are the thoughts that are arising in your mind today, right? Are you particularly worried about something? I mean, so many times I find myself, you know, because of the practice that I've done and because of the work I've done here, you know, I find myself like, like, why am I thinking about this? You know, like, why am I having this feeling of these thoughts of like this negative thing that's going on? Like what made me think about that person from 3 years ago who upset me about, you know, something, right? And if I can sort of backtrack and say, okay, well, what was the thought before this? That's why I'm thinking about this, because, you know, this person just cut me off in traffic and they were driving a blue Volvo station wagon. And that's what that son of a gun 3 years ago was driving when they, you know, got into an accident and became this whole thing, right? So, of course, that's a silly example of what I'm talking about. But that's the thing, right? That your thoughts are not... You know, you're not in control of your thoughts in many ways, right? Your thoughts are going to be, you know, arising based on, again, what is happening in this experience, in the present moment. And of course, your emotions are going to do the same thing, right? Like, you know, what are the emotions that I'm feeling? And the thing is that as we experience the thoughts, the emotions, and the physical sensations, as I've told you here before, these things all influence each other, right? So let me give you an example. If I'm maybe feeling I haven't slept enough last night, right? I didn't get great. That's not true for me, but let's say I didn't sleep very well last night, right? So then maybe this morning I had a little extra caffeine, and maybe because I was, you know, running late or whatever, I didn't eat a proper breakfast, okay? Now this is going to set up a physical status of my body that is not comfortable, right? I'm going to feel very jittery. I'm also going to feel maybe a little, you know, irritable, maybe even a little anxious over this, right? And that feeling is going to influence the thoughts that arise, right? So in that feeling, I am much more likely to notice that blue Volvo and think about the person who bothered me 3 years ago driving that kind of car, rather than thinking about the guy, oh, what about that other person 4 years ago who drove that kind of car, but they pulled over to help me when I had a flat tire or something like that. Right? But in that moment when I didn't have the sleep and I didn't have the food and I had the too much caffeine, that's why I'm looking at that Volvo and thinking about that negative experience. And that, of course, is going to create an emotion, which is going to create a vicious cycle, right? And that could put me into an irritable or whatever kind of mood for however long. Like, I don't know how long that's going to take, right? But here's the thing, right? In our lives, and depending on the way your life is set up, like me, myself right now, I have very low interactions with people. I've realized that recently, that throughout this whole pandemic and everything, like I am very much in my own little world here, right? And I don't get to talk to a whole lot of people out there, right? But that's rare. Like for me, normally I would interact with maybe 50 or 100 people every day, right? Where now it's more like 4 or 5 people every day. And some of those are my family, right? Maybe 10 people every day. And you know, but 5 of those are my family and you know, colleagues and stuff like that, right? So the point that I'm making, though, is that let's say you do interact with even 50 people today. Let's say it's even 20 people. Let's say it's even 10 people. Right? That's 10 moving parts out there that you're going to interact with, right? Now, you're bringing into that interaction your mood, your disposition, which again counts, kind of is a product of the physical, the emotional, and the mental. And then also there's a fourth aspect to this that I didn't even get into, which is sort of your worldview, your programming, which has been established since you were a little baby, right? You're a small child, right? So that's also impacting everything that you bring into your moment-to-moment experience, right? So if that doesn't seem like so like haphazard, like how can we possibly manage this, right? Well, then we add in that every one of those 50 people that you're 10 people that you're going to interact with today, each one of them also has this same dynamic going on within them. That is where mindfulness and self-compassion becomes our truly our greatest ally, right? Because when I can see, right, in the mindfulness, I notice, okay, it's because I didn't get enough sleep last night. It's because I had that extra caffeine. It's because all I had was a banana and it's already 3:30 in the afternoon. These are the reasons why I'm having these thoughts that are creating these emotions and I'm having such a hard time today, right? I can notice it with that. Now, self-compassion comes in to say, okay, Art, you're having a hard time today. And that's all right, right? I can recognize it and then I can hold it within this sort of comforting and consoling attitude, this energy of healing and help and kindness for myself. And that's the best way that I can get through this kind of situation with all of these moving parts, internally and externally moving parts, right? And now, of course, once I show myself that compassion, this is the really important part, folks, and this is why you want to sign up for this course. When I can foster that compassion for myself and I can recognize that, whoa, 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 Art, none of this is really your fault. Look at what you're dealing with. Well, now I can turn that lens outwardly to the person who's giving me a hard time at the post office. Or yesterday I went to the doctor's office and they were just so stressed and so just running ragged. And I can see that, okay, yes, my doctor is not really answering my question very clearly. She seems to be, you know, maybe, you know, it seems to be there's some confusion in our conversation here, right? It's because of the way that she's experiencing this moment. It's look at her. Look how stressed she is. I can tell how stressed she is. So this then allows me to say, okay, so then how can I, what kind of accommodations can I create for this stress that she's experienced? I can be more patient. I can ask the question again patiently. What's the alternative to that? I get angry. I say, that's it. I need another doctor. Screw this. I want to put in a complaint. Right? What does any of that do? All that does is further that mood. And that's where it becomes a personality. But can you see how mindfulness and self-compassion are at the very core of how we manage this process and how we can excel in our lives, even in the face of difficulty physically, mentally, emotionally. This is just one of the things we're going to be covering in this course. So please, if you haven't already, sign up. It's very easy. I'm going to put a link in the description to do just that. All right. And if you have any questions, hit me up, art@artburnscoaching.com. All right, everybody, I'll see you over the next section. Next segment, I mean. Welcome back, everyone, to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast, segment number 2 for today, October, I think it's the 13th. I still haven't checked since the last segment. It's the 13th. welcome back. For this segment, I wanted to kind of, you know, in the last segment, I talked about how, you know, in any given moment, right, we have this mood, you know, this sort of state of our body. Right. And part of mindfulness and self-compassion is kind of, you know, allowing us to see and to, you know, hold in a little bit of a softness, how we got to feeling this way, how we established this mood. Right. And this is not always very apparent. And that's why it's really important to practice this stuff, right? And that's part of what this course that I have coming up starting on Saturday for the next 8 weeks, 8 sessions over the course of however many weeks we have to do it for holidays and stuff like that. It's exactly what this course is designed and will help you to accomplish, right? Is to again, see that the sort of recipe that creates that mood. And in that seeing the recipe, what we do is we kind of create a little bit of distance. You know, we create a little bit of disidentification with what it is that we're experiencing, right? With that mood. And in that disidentification, we can then see that, oh, look at me operating from this mood. And once I can see that, now I can just choose to kind of let the storm pass, if you will, right? I can choose that, okay, if I say something now, if I do something now, if I take action or make a decision, I'm doing so based on this sort of tumultuous, you know, chaos or rigidity that I might have coming from this mood. And if I can recognize that, then I have the power to not make a big decision. I have the power to, you know, accept something that somebody might be saying to me or doing, you know, again, when I can recognize it in myself, I can recognize it in everybody else. And when I can recognize it in everybody else, that's when I can say, like, okay, you know, like this story I told about my doctor, but this is, I mean, it could happen with our spouse, our children, our, you know, everywhere around us, right? And really, what this means is that we recognize when it is that we're, again, operating, like recognizing where it is that we're operating from. And that's a very, very important question, because in most cases, especially when we're experiencing something that is difficult, right? Like if you're, you know, feel yourself dysregulated physically, if you feel yourself just in a sort of mental, you know, sort of trap of rigidity or the unwielding, you know, chaos that we can get in our mental state at any time, right? Anytime that you're experiencing anything like that, it's almost assured, it's almost guaranteed that you are operating not from your essence, but from whether it's your trauma or your assumptions or your, you know, sort of worldview expectations, right? Which all could be very, they could all be the same thing, or they could all be very distinctive things, right? In terms of the trauma. Not everybody experiences trauma as a child, right? Or in their whole lives. And so, but yet it doesn't mean that you have to be a traumatized person for all of this to apply, right? It can also apply just to, you know, you're just experiencing stress for whatever reason, right? So it doesn't mean like, oh, well, I didn't experience trauma as a kid, so everything's art's telling me right now, it doesn't really apply to me. It might, right? That's the point, right? But in any case, right, when we find ourselves in that place of hyper reactivity or hyper arousal, in terms of our, not the good kind of hyper arousal, but like the nervous system hyper arousal, meaning that we're stressed, right? We're in the stress response, right? Or if it's a trauma based thing, right? When we recognize that dysregulation, we can be sure that we're operating from that place that is not our true essence, right? And that's the thing that's really important here. And that's really one of the most important aspects of what's going to come from this self-compassion course, is exactly that, is to come back into connection with our essence, okay? I'm taking a course on trauma with Dr. Gabor Mate right now. It's a 6-week course, and like, oh my gosh, between him and Dan Siegel, I'm like in heaven over here, you know. I just waiting for Richie Davidson to have one coming up, and that's it, you know, or Barbara Friedrichsen, you know. But anyway, Dr. Mate said something really, really beautiful in today's lesson that I was watching, and that is that, you know, that when we're experiencing, well, one of the things he said, this is really what I wanted to say. Sorry, got a little sidetracked there, but he asked the class. He says, "How many of you, raise your hand if you've ever been in an abusive relationship?" And, you know, a bunch of hands went up. I mean, the abusive relationship I had with my parents, I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he means like a romantic relationship. And so I didn't raise my hand. And he asked the question, he said, well, so how many of you thought that before you got into that, in retrospect, how many of you thought that there were signs, right? That in retrospect, there were signs that this was going to be a bad situation or a dangerous situation, a hurtful situation, whatever you want to call it. And I think just about the same amount of hands went up, right? And that's the whole point here, right? That when when we experience this, and again, this is a course on trauma, so he's really talking about the trauma aspect of this, okay? But again, it doesn't necessarily require trauma to fall into this kind of space, right? But the point is that gut instinct, right? That's your intuition. And that's really, really important. And so when we find ourselves in a really troubling situation and we look back and we say, oh, look at the signs that I missed, right? Well, what that is that's an illustration of you being disconnected from that gut instinct. Either you didn't notice it or you didn't listen to it, meaning you noticed it but just ignored it, right? And that right there is such an important part of what it means to be human, right? Like so many times in our lives, right, we are faced with really difficult, you know, decisions that we have to make. We're faced with, you know, difficult sort of things that we have to confront. And that's, again, this is just part of being human, right? It comes with the territory, right? Nobody escapes this as a human being, right? And so many times we find ourselves in these situations, they feel so difficult, right? It seems so difficult to make the choice sometimes. You know, do I stay with this person? Do I leave this person? Do I buy the car? Do I not buy the car? Do I go to the thing tonight or do I not go to the thing tonight, right? All of these things that are happening, right? The reason why these are such difficult decisions sometimes, and they can be, right? They can be really, really difficult decisions. Mostly, that's because we've disconnected from that gut instinct, right? That's your intuition. Your intuition is a lot more wise than your brain is. Right. I mean, you know me, I'm a big fan of the brain. For all of you on the podcast, I'm wearing my brain t-shirt today, right? And yes, our brain is what drives everything in our body, right? It's the king of all the organs, or the queen of all the organs. Absolutely. But it's not the only brain we have. We actually have the same neurons that create our that make up our brain actually make up part of our heart. And also surround our gut, right? So we absolutely, in every respect, every literal respect, we are thinking, or we have available to us the ability to think with our heart and with our gut as much as we do with our brain, right? And so the thing is that most of us, and this is true, you know, with anybody who experiences chronic stress, whether that stress is rooted in trauma or anything else, right? I mean, stress itself can become traumatic. So it's a very sort of fuzzy line there. So we're not going to spend a lot of time, you know, trying to determine like, oh, you know, can you have stress without trauma? Not really a very productive conversation. We can sort of, I'm happy to have that conversation with you some other time. But for the purpose here, right? Anytime we're experiencing that, right, what it's doing is it's blocking us from connecting back to our authentic self, which is what that intuition is. And when we can connect back to our authentic self and connect back to our intuition, well, then those challenging decisions and those challenging topics become a lot less so. In fact, it's like I said in my TikTok video about this morning, it's almost like the decisions make themselves because we are so aligned with what we understand and what we believe that it's like it's not a hard decision, right? Like it's a very easy decision to say, okay, this person I'm with is not, you know, I'm not benefiting from this relationship, and because I'm not benefiting from this relationship, neither is the other person in the relationship. And so instead of hanging on to this relationship for years and years and years, it becomes very easy to say, hey, you know, in spite of however much it might hurt, ultimately we're going to be better off being separate. And that becomes a conversation that's easy to have because it's coming from that essence, from that gut, from that intuition. And so the problem with, again, whether it's stress or you know, real trauma or, you know, CPTSD, PTSD, all of it, right? It's about getting, reconnecting back into ourselves, right? And that's where self-compassion comes in, right? Well, mindfulness and self-compassion. Because first of all, this is what I'm going to teach you on the very first class on Saturday. So here's a little preview here for you, right? You can't have one without the other, right? You really can't. You can't have mindfulness without compassion, and you can't have compassion without mindfulness. It's much easier to see the latter, right? Because in order to have compassion for someone suffering, you need to first see that suffering. Right? But again, without some level of kindness and compassion, it's hard to notice it too, right? Because it's easy to sort of misassign what's going on and kind of, you know, brush it away, you know? And so the point that I'm making here, right, is that when we can recognize when we are operating from our trauma response or our stress response or whatever it is, that which is not our authentic self, that which is not our gut intuition, when we're operating from that which is not our gut intuition, we recognize it, and now we try to connect back to that gut intuition. Now, but here's the challenge. For most of us who have lived any amount of time on this earth, there are going to be things inside that we're reluctant to face. You know, there's going to be the shame of all the years that have gone by that I didn't make this decision. There's going to be the shame of why am I so bad at this stuff? There's going to be the shame or the maybe resentment or anger or disillusionment or just confusion, right? And these are going to be what prevents us from really looking at it. Right? Because it's scary. It's like, oh man, I don't want to touch that shame. It hurts to touch that shame. That's where those things remain in what Carl Jung would call the shadow, right? We are unwilling to go there. And that's what self-compassion does, right? Self-compassion gives us that courage and that nurturing reassurance that whatever we find there, we can handle it because we're giving ourselves compassion. And so that self-compassion allows us to shine the light on those shadow areas of our deepest inner self. And once we can do that, one by one, we start getting past these blocks, and then we can reconnect to who we truly are. We can reconnect to our essence and in turn, our intuition. And that is when we start finding harmony in our lives where before there was nothing but discord. We find ease where there was nothing but difficulty. We find calm where there was nothing but stress. And this is here for you, folks. And within 8 weeks, you could be well on your way. All you got to do is sign up. And there's a link in the description. All right. If you have any questions, please hit me up, art@artburnscoaching.com. All right, everybody, I wish you well. I'll be back in tomorrow. Take care.